Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome back, my friends, to Boomerville, otherwise known as Another Day Above Ground. This is the show where we just talk about stuff that, you know, us boomers like to talk about. You know, we don't care what the kids are talking about. We don't tick, nor do we talk. We creak a lot and sometimes pop. But for the most part, we just want to talk about stuff that we want to talk about and that you want to hear about. And to do that, of course, I need my two partners. First, welcome from the mile-high city of Denver, Carolyn Strauss.
It's been such a long week. Can I just stop, drop, and roll, man? I am tired talking about TikToking and popping. Stop, drop, and roll.
That's only if you're on fire.
You're tired, I am
really.
On fire.
You should
fire.
Just put your feet up. You're okay. On fire. Okay, kids. I think we're going to change our contest today. All right. And joining us from Indiana, please welcome the Aristotle of comedy, Tim Slagle.
I remember that it was Dick Van Dyke that the first time I heard about stop, drop, and roll. He actually did the public service ads showing you how to stop, drop, and roll over the ottoman.
When I was a kid, I used to fantasize that Dick Van Dyke was my dad. You know, like when you're a little kid and you have dreams about stuff. I used to dream that he was my dad, and he's still alive.
That's not how little boys thought of Mary Tyler Moore, by the way.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure. Hey, she wore pants.
She was not my mom. No,
that was sexy. She wore pants.
Well, she was a dancer, so she was allowed.
And they slept in separate beds, too, you know. So I don't know where Richie came from, but, you know, probably a mad night on the couch. Anyhow, today what
Buddy.
We want to do is, I'm sorry, what?
Buddy. Buddy probably.
So, did you say,
with Buddy. Buddy Sorrell and his wife, Pickles. But we'll be getting into more trivia at the end of the show when we play our game. But right now, we would like to have a chat with a fellow boomer, a comedy master, as it were. He has been in the business for just about ever. He is also an author. He is a podcaster. He is a radio broadcaster. And he even does windows. Please welcome to our show, Mr. Dobie Maxwell.
Hey, Boomer Trio. Great to be back in the saddle. I'm a lover, I'm a sinner, I'm a picker, I'm a grinner.
You don't do windows, huh?
No windows, screen doors, nothing like that.
Oh, I thought it meant, I thought Dale meant you were on Mac.
This is smart people comedy today. I can.
No, that was the rails on the crazy right. Train in the first 12 seconds.
That was one for the kids.
So, Dobie, you back again. What's new? What's cooking? I saw that you got a new special coming up, and I think that's cool. So I want to tell us about it.
It's a thing called Dry Bar Comedy, and it was filmed in Utah because we all know that Utah and comedy go hand in hand. And so the Mormons have a thing.
What's hand that? In hand in hand. Come on, Dobie.
In hand.
I'm sorry.
In hand.
I'm off the rails. So it's a thing that started a few years
no,
ago.
No, he just doesn't. We just don't expect jokes from you, Carolyn. I thought we established that last show.
Yeah, but once in a while they show up. I can't help myself.
Shooting from the hip. Nothing wrong with that. Got to think quickly. It's good medicine when you hit 60 and plus. So anyway, to make a long story longer, it's a thing called Dry Bar Comedy, and it's where older Caucasians go to die and or be seen. And it's funny because I've been doing this now 40 years. It's my 40th year anniversary in comedy. And the people, the staff, were all in their 20s. And it's been going for several seasons. And I went out there, and I'm not bragging, I knocked it out of the park and got a standing ovation. And it's like, after 40 years, I should knock it out of the park and get a standing ovation, or I should be working at Jiffy Lube, working on lug nuts.
I was impressed that they could stand up.
That what could stand up?
That the audience could stand up if they're there for that show.
Well, it's funny because a typical Utah audience, they allow kids. It's about 12 to 80. So it's a different world. I lived out there, and I unfortunately for the other acts, there were two other comedians on the show. They happen to be from New York, and no offense to them, there are no subways in Utah. So they made me look that much better. And it was a good experience. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Was everybody in the audience? audience all the guys wearing white shirts and black ties?
No, I was wearing a white shirt and a black tie because it's kind of good. I had a little bicycle parked on the stage. I wanted them to get familiar with the thing. And that's a whole different mindset.
But opening line was, have you heard the good news?
Yeah. Have you heard the good news? Yes. Jehovah's Witnesses versus the Mormons in a 2 out of 3 fall, you know, polygamous match. But I didn't talk about any religious things because a lot of comedians I've seen go in there and try to do that. So I just basically talked about boomer stuff. And I'm at the end of the boomer. I was born in 63, so it's till 64. So I just kind of slid in on the end. But I was raised by my grandparents, so I get both ends of the demographic. They would tell me about stuff like, you know, outhouses and Ben Turpin movies and things like that. So I brought references to the playground that other kids didn't have. So I got stared at an early age, so it prepared me for comedy. You know, I had a Rutherford B. Hayes lunchbox. That's not a popular thing in 1970.
Was he like a rock singer or something that I didn't hear about?
Rutherford B. Hayes?
Yeah.
I think he was our 15th president.
That's Isaac Hayes.
I knew there was something.
Shut your mouth. Okay. Just talking about Shaft. Okay, I lost you again.
Now I forgot what on? I was going to ask something, and now it's complete. I forget to take my Prevagen, and this happens all the time to me.
Okay.
So what exactly did you talk about to the lovely Mormons?
Well, I was a little brother, as are many entertainers, and I have a bit about being a younger brother, and, you know, you get hit, why are you hitting yourself, and that has been on stage pretty good for many years, so I did it, and I closed with it, and I was in radio for a long time, and they're pretty loose about it. They want you to do 25 minutes, 3 comedians on a show, each doing about 25 minutes. I said, well, if you could go 2 minutes either way, we would appreciate it. Well, I've been in radio for many, many years. So 24:59, ding, ding, thank you, good night. Both shows nailed it. And that was what fit in. So it's really fun. And Tim and Dale, you guys are comedians, you know. And Carolyn, if you've ever been on stage, it's the whole, you know, meeting the time thing. It's like an NFL quarterback making an audible at the line of scrimmage. There's about 500 things that could go wrong. And to me, the fun part is being in the moment and making the choices and pulling it off. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. That particular night that I did, and the biggest compliment walking out the door, the lady in charge is about 35, very LDS, that's Mormon, and she said, why did it take them so long to book you? You were the best comic we've ever had in here. So I said, thank you very much. I hope to be back. She said, count on it.
Oh, cool.
And now I'm in the big, vast sea with the other Caucasians, and I may or may not get picked, but it sure was fun to be a star for a night.
Get picked for what?
Well, they released this, it's called a special, but I mean, that's kind of an overused thing, but it's like,
yeah, specials, comedy specials are no longer special.
No longer special. Used to be on, you know, HBO, you might get 3 or 4 a year and you get big names like George Carlin and Steve Martin and stuff. Now it's just every, you know, used to be an audition tape. Now it's called a special.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The short bus was called special too when I went to school, and that wasn't so, but I have to think of a title for it. And that's the thing. Now, my legal name, I don't hide this. I changed my name. My legal name is Dobie J. Maxwell. And I say, if you had a life like mine and a childhood like mine, you'd change your name, too. And I went in front of a judge on the hottest day of the year in Milwaukee, where I'm from. There are not a lot of hot days. And he had the big, you know, burlap robe on. And said, okay, first case is a name change. Your name is, you're going to change your name to Dobie Maxwell. No, Your Honor, it's Dobie J. Maxwell. What's the J for? Genius. Next case. And he was just angry. So I'm thinking of titling my special, The J is for Genius, because about 1 in 50 people get it. So that's the working title of it right now.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
So I told that story. I opened up with that story because I was also a pro wrestling announcer for many years. And in pro wrestling, when you introduce your character, they used to have territories. So you go to a new territory, and to be either a good wrestler, bad guy character, you have to, it's called getting over. You have to get yourself over. So in the first couple of interviews, you have to tell who you are, where you're from, what's your character. You're the lumberjack from wherever you're from, or the Texas hangman, or whatever your character is. So I use the wrestling principles to basically get myself over. My name, where I'm from. I've invested in a suit of $500 for a custom suit coat. Now, Dale, Tim work the big gigs. I work the honky tonks and the gin joints and the places with the names misspelled on the marquee kind of thing. You know,
like Genius.
Fish Dinner, $3.99, and Dobie Maxwell, you know, with a
comedy so funny, you got to spell it with a K.
Yeah, exactly. Idiot is a Q.
Okay, yeah, I have a line. I don't use pro wrestling to get myself over, but, you know, other things. I don't know what that means, Dobby.
You get yourself under?
Get yourself over the washing machine with a load off on the spin cycle.
There you go. Thank you. I knew there was something. I just wasn't sure. I don't know what getting myself over means. What is that? Is that a comedy term?
No, it's a wrestling term. It means that you establish your character so it's believable. For example, I have a friend that really, he's from Milwaukee, but he wrestled for 25 years as the Texas Hangman. I said, why did you call yourself that? He goes, because the Wisconsin Hangman doesn't sound nearly as fierce. So he became that character. And it's just getting yourself over means with the crowd, you have to make them believe that you're really from Waco rather than Waukesha.
the Minocqua,
that would have been cool.
Yeah,
it was
the fisherman with an axe,
the cheese cutter.
Dry boy humor, they should call it. Yes, boy.
Well, how many women watch pro wrestling, Carolyn? I mean, seriously.
Probably not a lot, but aren't there pro women wrestler people?
Oh,
many
more. Oh, yeah, that's to attract the women.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. No,
sorry.
It's not. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Two girls in bikinis wrestling. Yeah.
So if you're living in your dad's basement at age 37, throw a couple of bikini chicks in there. You'll keep the show on 5 minutes more before you go to your video game. That's what it is.
And I don't think they have any more midget wrestlers, do they?
No, they're little people now. All the freaks have been removed. They're all good-looking people of culture, ethnicity, diversity, and inclusion. So we have the transgender wrestler, you know, the purple hair. I know I'm old, and I'm glad I'm in finally a place where I can say this. And I did this in my first taping. It's like, all right, when I was a kid, you know, you make fun of the things that went on. My grandparents made fun of me, but now it's the fishing tackle out of the nose. I cannot not look at that.
I do not understand the little bull ring thing.
Right.
That one, there are some of the prettiest girls,
yes,
and they have this like bull ring in their nose. What is that?
You're one sneeze away from totally disgusting everyone at the party.
Actually, it can be a good form of entertainment as you wait until they fall asleep, and then you take a 9-volt battery and you just touch it. Two little things stick out. Whoa, boy! Excitement flies.
It's amazing. It's amazing how much of what used to be relegated to the freak show is now the norm. The tattooed man, the bearded lady.
Look at Jelly Roll. He's about to win like all of these American Music Country Music Awards, and the guy is tattooed all over his face. That never happened when we were little.
Yeah, it did. It was when you fell asleep at a frat party.
And then they used a Sharpie. Yeah. It was, sure.
I picture now going to the sideshow circus freak, and I see a guy looking like Wally Cleaver there, you know?
Right. I was in a hot yoga class the other morning, and I was looking around, and I was one of the only people in the whole room that had no showing tattoos. I have no tattoos at all, but no tattoos. Everybody else in front of me had tattoos, and I'm thinking, first of all, that's stupid if you want to commit crimes, because you can be identified by the tattoos they see. So that's just dumb, right? You're limiting your options. But second, who you are when you get the tattoo is not who you're going to be 10 years later. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I look back at some of the tattoos I would have gotten that I would be ashamed of now. The first one probably would have been Alfred E. Newman. Would have been a what me worry tattoo, right across my chest.
I like that one. Dale, do you have any tattoos?
I do not have any tattoos. I've often thought about just getting the word tattoo surrounded by a red circle and a line through it, just to mess with people.
I've done a joke for years in my act about my grandma got a tattoo of an eagle on her left breast for World War II. It's a pelican now. It's on a bowling pin. And that used to get laughs for years, and now people are looking like, yeah, rad, man. I'll show you real quickly. I always tell people, you want to see my tattoo? there. There's my tattoo right there, a $50 bill that I have in my pocket that I can spend. And you put a picture of Satan and Hitler playing pickleball on your left nipple. And it's amazing, like you said, though, right from the finger to the neck. And now I went to the DMV last week, and there was a guy in the DMV, mohawk, earrings, tattoos, fishing tackle coming out of every hall. Hi, can I help you?
The earrings?
You should be in front of my car, not behind that counter.
Right. What is with the earrings that, like, open the ear lobe to
gauges.
Be, like, the size
those are called,
of a...
Those are called gauges.
Why?
Because you get a different gauge every couple months.
No. Why is a much more global
question.
Just in case you have a magic marker and a place to put it, you just kind of stick it in the air there and hold it.
There was somebody that said
it's easier than telling everybody you meet, I don't ever want to be a corporate CEO. So you don't have, that goes without saying that. You don't have to tell
anybody.
Oh, it
takes the pressure off having to actually do anything.
Exactly. It's like that ring that measures how much pasta you're supposed to put in an order, So kind of stick it in your ear there. It's like, I'm having lunch for two.
Oh, my God. So you okay, ears?
Two earlobes? Yeah, that should be good. I got friends coming over.
That's funny. It's a cooking mechanism.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Dobie.
Got to survive.
That's hilarious.
Somebody said, it looks really cool now, but if you ever take those gauges out, your ears are going to look like Betty White's labia.
Wow, there's a mental picture. I'm glad I saved my meal for after this.
I was just going to say, that is the meanest, most horrible. Wow.
I was gonna have some string cheese, but I'll wait till after the show.
It's like the old joke about Elizabeth Taylor had to have some surgery done down there, and she said, "Make sure nobody knows about this." So she came to, and there were three bouquets in her room. She goes, "Well, where did these come from?" She said, "Well, one came from the doctor, said you were the best patient ever. The other came from the anesthesiologist, who said you were great, and the third one came from Eddie and Bert." Burn Ward said, "Thanks for the new pair of ears."
that's a 5-star classic right there.
Oh, but your ears aren't supposed to change size.
Right on dry bar of it.
No, I can't do dry bar with that. No.
Nope, your ears aren't supposed to change size depending on how cold it is out. That's.
That's funny. You think back to the 70s, though. Okay, leisure suits and the hairstyle and the shirts with the collar looks like a hang glider. Those can all be removed and get a haircut and you can look quote-unquote normal. You got craftsman tools coming out of your cheek. That's going to, like Dale said, going to make an impression in the corporate interview room. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Attica. I don't know. Thank God I got people I can talk to this
but
with.
I can magnetize.
Yes.
I can hang magnetic memos on my face, so I can do that.
Yeah, well, human refrigerator door. That's great.
I don't want to have to take off my belt.
Big show coming up. You have to take off your... You can't just end there, Carol, and say, "I'm going to take off my belt," and you can't end there.
Sorry, I wanted to give you... You started talking. I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, I don't like to take off my belt when I go through TSA security. I don't want to have to take off my face. Are you putting on my face? Is hard enough, right? Taking it off every time I have to go through security. No, thank you.
Well, I think if it's on your face, I think they can just wand your face, so to speak. But but I mean, if you get one of those, if you get some of those surreptitious piercings, is what are they going to have? What are they going to have to do? You're going to have to
Prince
go.
Prince Albert.
Prince Albert, yeah, is one
in a can.
Yeah, you could have a Prince Albert in the can, sure.
He's very tidy. Anyhow, Dobie, you got a big show coming up for Baby Boomers. That's what we want to hear about. Where is it? When is it?
I really appreciate it. And I know it's in the Denver area, Carolyn. And you're going to have to help. Is it Lakewood?
Yeah, I live in Lakewood.
I believe that's where the show is. It's Sunday night coming up, April the 24th. Is this going to be live or,
No,
so
it's
5 years from now.
People are
going, you weren't there. I was there on the 24th.
Yeah, no, we're running this for you before the 24th. So for all of our listeners,
21st, April 21st.
Oh, sorry, 21st of April. This will run before your show. So plug away, my friend.
Well, it's really good. It's a guy named James R. Jingleman, who also goes by Rusty Z. And he asked me, he said, hey, you want to do a Boomer show? It's like, hey, did Bob Eubanks host the dating game here, the newlywed game? Yeah, I mean, all those references, like Tim does a great bit about that, all those references in your head that you can't get out. So absolutely, yes. And I think at this particular point in life, Lenny Bruce talked about having 100,000 people that he wanted, and he didn't care about anybody else. And that's what he wanted. How many baby boomers are there? And we're dying off by the day. I mean, I don't know, you know, 7,000 a day dying off. So before we're all dead, I want to go and be able to do the references and the fun and the things that I can't do in quote unquote normal comedy venues.
It's a James actually was
what I've always said about
James was a friend of the show. Yeah, we actually had him on before his last Humor for Boomers.
I'm honored and flattered that he would pick me. And I've been to Denver several times. I've never performed there. So it's funny because now talk about the young kids, get off my lawn. Another gentleman said, hey, I saw you doing the Boomer show on a Sunday. I've got a Tuesday through Saturday that I can book you in the Colorado area. And I said, well, that'd be great. And he quoted a price. And it's like, well, I'm going to be out there anyway already. It'll really help. So I called him a couple of weeks after the booking. I said, where are the accommodations? Oh, we don't give a hotel. So I'll be sleeping in these state parks of Colorado for 6 days fishing for my supper. I guess it's the new kids don't think you need accommodations. We've been comics for how many years, and they always put you up somewhere, a hotel with a number in it, the Super 8, the Motel 6, the what am I here for, doesn't matter where, there's a number in the title.
That's the funny thing is that when we were comics coming up, we all heard the stories about how Letterman and Leno slept in their cars when they first went out to L.A. And and it was like, well, you know, it was L.A. I mean, it was like, look where they ended up because of that. And I can understand that. But now you got these kids sleeping in their car for a gig at Zig's Lakeshore Bar in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And they're sleeping in their car.
How about it?
Really?
My goal in show business is to sleep in a better car. In a newer car, 5 years newer. I got an 82 Dodge Dart, and it's very comfortable.
Yeah, or get the
back seat out. You know, like the what's that guy in the DC, the killer there? He took the back seat out and laid out and shot people. I'm not going to shoot anybody. I'm just going to put a sleeping bag in there and a corn popper, and I'm in show business.
Oh yeah, and plus what girl doesn't like going back to your trunk? Really?
I got about three of them in there already. previous gigs.
There's the bell.
No, but thank you for the plug. I really do appreciate it. And I love now, Carolyn. I'm probably gonna hit you up to tell me the places to go, the places to see in Denver. I've only been through there a few times. Really enjoyed it, but now I want to have a couple of days to see the sights.
I will absolutely
you
share that.
Hit her up for a place to.
I know. I was thinking that, but I'm out of town. That is when I'm traveling. I'm so
of
sorry.
Of course,
I'm
not it always is.
Be in town. No, I really mean
leave
it.
The key under the mat.
No, I'm not going
to. Leave
the key under the mat.
He's tidy.
I'm actually the Salvation Army. I've learned to sing hymns, Bringing in the Sheaves, and they put out a nice meatloaf on Thursday night. So I'll hang with the fellas. I want to ask you, now there's always local establishments. Now, Dale, you grew up in Cleveland, and Tim, you grew up in Detroit. So I've been to those places, and there are individual. Now, Denver, I don't know any eat places. Are there any local chains of food that I should eat, you know, burger places or pizza?
I hear they've
like
got good omelets.
Yes, they do.
That's cute. Yeah, we have good omelets.
And the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oysters.
That I can't handle.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
I took about a half a bite of one years ago, and they told me what it was, and I launched it to Wyoming.
Which is where it came from
in
the first
place. You got to wait until they take it off the bowl. You know, that makes it a lot easier.
That's true.
Well, not like the bowl. The bowl's reverse it the other way, Dale. Come on.
It actually tastes good. You know what charnina is by chance? Mm-mm. It's duck's blood soup. It's very Polish. Now, I don't know about Cleveland, Dale, but Tim, there's a lot of Polish people in Detroit. Milwaukee's got a Polish community.
A lot of Polish in Cleveland, yeah.
A lot of Polish? Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, I like pierogies, and I also have charnina. It's a sweet, tasty soup. What is it? Duck's blood soup. Again, it was good until I knew what it was. Man.
Wow.
Just, yeah, no, I've never had that. The buyer beware.
We used to get all the time kolachkis. That was the famous Polish.
Very good.
pastry. Love kolachkis.
We had Mrs. Shabesta made a kolachki. That was a lady in Milwaukee. And when it snowed, and she'd give you, you know, kolachkis. We would shovel from Green Bay to Wausau to Beloit for half a bite. I think there was crack in there, but oh man, were those things good.
Well, here's an interesting thing: is that punchki, klotchki, and pierogi are all plural.
Okay.
It's of course. So if you're talking about multiple of any of those, it's punchki, klotchki, and pierogi. But you know, we're from Illinois, so we put the S on the end of everything. Pierogies, okay. Klotchkis, yeah.
Funny.
Sears, Myers.
How would you order if you just wanted one?
I think it's like a clutch.
You just wanted one.
I think it's like
nobody orders one. It's like Lay's potato.
Like one clutch, please.
Yeah, one clutch.
Like a clutch.
You need a key exactly. for that? No, I don't need a clutch key. No.
Yeah.
Well, Joby, one last thing that we want to leave our listener with, and that is for the longest time you've been mentoring young comedians and guiding them and helping them on their way. Give me a word of advice for anybody looking to start in the business other than, you know, run away very fast.
Learn a trade. Learn to change oil. It's not the same thing. I mean, we came up at a time. It's different at this particular point. It's like a blacksmith, you know what I'm saying? When cars came around, you got to stop making horseshoes and make car fenders or whatever. And I think the stand-up comedy boom, it's a different world. We live through the good times of it. I say do it for fun. If you get a chance to make a living, you are the exception rather than the rule. When we came up, there was more of a demand than a supply. So we were in that groove. That time will never again happen in history. So I mean, in a friendly and a customer service kind of a way, learn a trade.
Comedy's for fun. And that's
I hate true. But I do have a Facebook comedy group, the Maxwell Method of Stand-Up Comedy, if you want to go there. People, you know, exchange it. I say Colonel Sanders didn't invent fried chicken. He put his name and his face on the bucket and came up with his recipe. I didn't invent comedy. I put my name in the face, like a Craigslist. Who's Craig? Maxwell Method, who's Maxwell? You're looking at it. Guy who sleeps in his car in Colorado when Carolyn's out of town.
We should let Dobie stick around for the game, I think. I think Dobie might enjoy
it. If you
have
me, I always love with you guys. Okay.
Well, you're here just in time because that means that it's time to play our game. Every week at this time, we play a round of a game called Boom Again. It's an actual board game. It's designed just for baby boomers. It's very cool. And it's a great game. And you have an opportunity every week win one of these games, because we're going to ask three questions, and if you know the answers, you send them to us, and if you're right, we'll send you a game. And Carolyn, where would they send those answers?
Send us an email at anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com. Put the answers in before the next week. By the way, I've gotten some after we've run the show that had the answers. That does not count. So before we run the answers the next week, send us the answers and we'll send you a game.
You must be
proud. I love this idea. Good game. Good.
Okay, well, here's the questions that we asked last week. And, Dobie, you can be our test to see if you know the answers to these.
Okay.
Thanks to Rolling Stone are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks to Rolling Stone magazine, journalist Hunter S. Thompson launched a new style of reporting. What was it called?
Crickets.
Gonzo journalism.
What does that mean, all right, though?
It means you just do a lot of drugs.
Read one of his books and you'll get
do a lot of drugs and
basically, yeah,
bang out an article before the deadline. With
so how I did college?
Pretty much, yeah.
I was a high school second year project in high school.
All right, here's the second question from last week. Name the character actor who never left home without his American Express traveler checks, even when he was on the streets of San Francisco.
I know this. Ooh, ooh, Mr. Cotter.
Yes, sir.
Carl Malden.
Yeah. And Carl Malden. Very good. All right. And the third one last week was fill in the blank on this advertising classic. Is it live or is it Dobie?
Memorex.
Woo-hoo! Memorex. Hey. Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
What's
tape? I can't turn on my cell phone, but I can tell you commercials from 1974.
what's tape?
Exactly. Exactly. Funny comedian Tim Walco, another boomer, has got a really funny joke. A website you'll never see, typewriterribbons.com. That's his joke. That's a great joke. I want to get that domain just so I can have it.
All right. All right, here's our three questions for this week. Kids, time to grab a pencil, write them down, and if you know the answers, if you know the answers, send them in to us, and we will send you a game. Here are your three questions. We don't want any answers this time because
I won't.
Then they would know.
I probably won't know.
Okay, you can raise your hand. I'm not going to call on you.
Got it.
All right, name all four Jetsons.
Ooh.
The order that they're introduced in the theme song.
I love this question.
Sing the theme song. Second question for next week. The movie Willard was about a rat. What was the sequel and who sang... Willard was about a rat. What was the sequel and who sang lovingly to the rat in the theme song? So Willard was also a...
Sammy Davis Jr. was one of the rats, I think.
The Candyman can.
He was in the Rat Pack.
And
then, this one's going to be, you're going to have to look up. Name the tallest and the shortest world leaders who marched behind JFK's casket on the way to Arlington Cemetery.
Oh. They
were both wearing uniforms. Interesting.
Andre the Giant and Hervey Villachase.
I was saying Lurch from the Addams Family, Billy Barty.
It's a name you don't hear often enough anymore.
I'm
Billy
pulling
Barty.
This back in. If you know the answer, send us an email at anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com. But wait, if you want to buy a game and you don't want to wait for us to send you one, you can go to boomagain.com and on the checkout page, put in the promo code 10ADAG. That's 10ADAG, and courtesy of Another Day Above Ground, you will get 10% off your game.
There you go. That says it. And folks, we have unbelievably taken up another half hour of your precious time, and we appreciate it. But it's time for us to go now. We'd like to thank Dobie Maxwell one more time for joining us, and make sure you watch for him on his Dry Bar Comedy Show whenever that is published.
DobieMaxwell.com, is that correct?
I think it's still up for a while, but if not, it will be within before the next pandemic. It'll be up.
Okay. You never know when that's going to be. Carolyn, any final words for...
I'm going to tell Dobie to bring a hat because March is Colorado's snowiest month. April is Colorado's third snowiest month. So just because you're coming in April doesn't mean you're not going to get hit in a blizzard.
Carolyn, don't flatter yourself. I'm from Wisconsin. My blood is like Cheese Whiz. I am ready for... I never take the ice scraper out of any vehicle.
Perfect. Okay.
Tim, any final words?
Yeah, timslagle.com. Find out more about the Tim Slagle World Tour. That's still up and running, I think. Unless I didn't
and
my
and of course, go to Dale Irvin. Go to DaleIrvin.com where you can sign up for the Friday Funnies. And every Friday in your email, I will make you laugh with a written and video review of the oddest stories in the week. Yes, Dobie, you have a question?
I want to just, if anybody's watching here, I know they are, that Dale's, it's hilarious. I got it since it was snail mailed, highest quality, funniest newsletter in comedy history. Sign up for it. It's great. Mean that.
Wow. God bless you. That means a lot coming from you in comedy history, because you've been around for much of it. But anyhow, sign up.
I think Ben Turpin had one for a while, but you outlasted.
He had to quit because he was wearing out quills. Anyhow, my friends, that's it. Go to our website, anotherdayaboveground.com. Learn more about us, watch or listen to all of our shows, and tell your friends about our show. Other than that, we'll see you next week. But right now, go out and enjoy the rest of the day, because it is Another Day Above Ground.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground.
For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.